Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 101. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick. I'm the editor of techguide.com.au and we're coming to you live from New York City. We're in town here for the Samsung Galaxy Tab S launch. That happened a couple of days ago. And so we're going to talk about that on the program, as well as a few other things. We're going to have a look at E3, the games that were unveiled there. We're also going to look at some Braavn waterproof rugged speakers. And we're also going to check out a printer that can help get your great smartphone images off your devices and printed. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A big show to get through, so let's jump straight in.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, as we said, we are here in New York City for the Galaxy Tab S launch. Now, in the next part of the program, we're going to talk about the device, our hands-on experience with the device. But I just want to set the scene here in what took place for the launch. Now, Samsung are not backward in coming forward when it comes to planning a global launch. And that's exactly what they had here in New York City. Of all places, they held it at the Madison Square Garden just one night after the New York Rangers played the LA Kings in the Stanley Cup match. In fact, all the Madison Square Garden was still plastered with all images of the New York Rangers. But it was a Samsung taking center stage on this particular night, and that was for the Galaxy Tab S launch. They had a fair few people on hand here. This was a global launch, as I mentioned, and they wanted to make a statement with this launch. So I think traditionally what Samsung has done in the past is launch several Galaxy products. They might have launched a tablet, a camera. So in the past, they have grouped these products together. The fact that they've singled out this device, the Galaxy Tab S, really means that this device is their new flagship product, a premium device that's really got a lot of great new features that we'll talk about in a moment. But I think that at the end of our discussion today on the program, you'll see that this is a serious contender for the iPad. I think the iPad from Apple is, of course, the market leader, and other tablets were playing for second. This tablet from Samsung, I think, is going to kind of be playing in the same ballpark as the iPad Air. It's got a Super AMOLED screen. It's got a really thin and light design. It's only 6.6 millimeters thick. Two models available, 8.4 inch and 10.5 inch. Now, this is an Android device, as I mentioned. It's got a micro SD card slot, and it's got an Octa processor. So that's an 8-core processor, which is actually made up of two quad-core processors. So performance-wise, it's certainly not lacking. But that Super AMOLED screen is really what's going to grab your attention. It's got a resolution of 2650 by 1600. That's higher resolution than your HD TV, your full HD TV in your home. The reason behind that, Samsung, they did a bit of research in the usage patterns of tablets, not just their own, but tablets across the board. And what they found was that viewing was a big part of it. People viewing content like movies, TV shows, they were playing lots of games, they were also browsing the web. So it was a lot of content consumption. And they thought, well, how do we make that experience even better? And the answer was to put a better screen in the device. And that's exactly what they did. Super AMOLED, the same sort of screen you'll find in the Galaxy S5. And if you've ever, anyone who's ever seen that screen, it's very, very impressive. It is sharp, it is bright, and it provides a great experience. Now imagine that on a larger scale, on an 8.4 inch screen and a 10.5 inch screen. The result is a really impressive experience. Now, we're going to talk about the device itself, our experience with the device. We did get a hands-on. But the pricing hasn't been decided for Australia. It's going to be released in July sometime. US pricing was announced. It's $399 for the 8-inch 16-gig model and $499 for the 10.5-inch 16-gig model. So that they're US prices. So you can maybe expect an extra $100 on top of that, maybe less, hopefully. And that'll really bring it into the same very competitive pricing to the iPad as well. So that is the Galaxy Tab S. We got our hands on it, and we're going to talk about it right now. Okay, well, the news is out. The Galaxy Tab S has been unveiled. It was unveiled here in New York, but we got a chance to get our hands on it. Tech Guide was one of the first in the world to get a hands-on look at these new devices, the 8.4-inch and the 10.5-inch. Now, the main features we're going to talk about here is obviously the screen. We're going to talk about the design and also some really cool new features that will help keep people in the Samsung family. I think if you've got a Samsung phone, you're more likely, it would be beneficial for you to also have a Samsung tablet and vice versa. If you had a Samsung tablet, then having a Samsung smartphone really helps you utilize the features, the full feature set on the device. Well, let's start off with that screen. Now, this screen really has to be seen to be believed. Now, I did mention the resolution 2560 by 1600. Now, as I said, that is higher definition, more pixels than your full high definition TV in your lounge room. So the PPI count, though, is something else we talk about. That's the pixels per inch. Now, the iPad's Retina display is quite impressive, and that is actually lower than the PPI count on the Galaxy Tab S models. Now, the 8.4-inch Galaxy Tab S, let's call that the iPad mini competitor, has 360 PPI, pixels per inch. iPad mini, 326 PPI. Tab S has got more in that one. 10.5-inch Galaxy Tab S has 287 PPI, pixels per inch. The iPad Air, 264. So once again, Samsung has fitted more pixels per inch on the screen, and that adds to that amazing clarity and brightness. But what it's also got is amazing contrast. The contrast is 100,000 to 1. Now, they sat the old Galaxy Tab, the previous, I think it was the Note 2014 edition, next to the Super AMOLED device, the Tab S. And the difference in screen quality was remarkable. Now, the Super AMOLED obviously had much brighter, sharper colors, but it was the deep blacks and white whites that really popped. The contrast ratio on the Tab S, as I said, is 100,000 to 1, which is 100 times greater than the non-AMOLED screen. It was just a TFT LCD screen on the other device. But the difference, and I've got a picture of it on Tech Guide for anyone who wants to see that side-by-side comparison, was incredible. So that's a very impressive, that feature alone, I think, is going to impress a lot of people. But it goes deeper than just the screen. That processor, it's an Octa processor. So it's 8 cores working all in unison. And that's with good reason. I think you need that kind of processing power to make this device run smoothly. A device with that many pixels to power on the screen has to work smoothly. And having a processor of that quality will help it along. We watched a little bit of video on it. We had a bit of a play, and it all worked very smoothly. Really snappy performance in terms of moving from screen to screen, opening up apps, closing apps again. So it's on your side, that processor. It's really going to help give you a great overall performance. What it also ensures too is that the Tab S performs more economically in terms of power usage. So the battery life has been pegged at about 11 hours. We didn't use the device for 11 hours. We'll leave that to our full review. But this device is as Samsung said, they claim it's going to run for 11 hours between charges. Well, let's move along now to the features on board the device. Now, there's a lot of connectivity features, and there are so many things to mention, but I'm gonna hone in on a couple here. The one that really impressed me was SideSync 3.0. This is a way to connect your smartphone with your tablet, and you can do things like share files quite easily. You can even make and receive calls on the tablet if it's synced to the Galaxy smartphone using SideSync 3.0. Now, what happens, and we did this during our test, and I've got pictures of it on my hands-on review story on Tech Guide. There's an app that you download, obviously, SideSync 3.0 on both devices. And what they do is they form a direct wireless connection. So once it finds your phone, it links it to the Tab S. And once that's done, a virtual version of your smartphone, the Galaxy S5 in this case, appears on the screen. So what you can do then is put the phone away. As long as it's within reach of this wireless connection, you can put your phone in your bag, you can put it in another room, but you've still got access to the phone. It looks like it's floating on top of the screen. You can navigate through the screens. You can even use the apps on the virtual version of your smartphone as well. But you can also, if you receive a call, you can answer that call on your tablet. So it is convenient because so many of us carry, we do have multiple devices, multiple mobile devices, a smartphone, a tablet. Having to manage both, for some people, that might be a bit of work. Well, in this case, Samsung can make it a little bit easier with SideSync 3.0. You can make and receive calls directly on the tablet. And there are more images here of me receiving a phone call on my Galaxy S5 that I had linked to the Tab S. So that in itself, I think, is a pretty cool feature. And again, another reason to stay within the Samsung ecosystem. That SideSync 3.0 also makes it easier to share files. So you can drag and drop pictures on and off the device. So sharing files, not just pictures, but all kinds of documents, is made a lot easier. So no need to get out a cable. It's all done for you wirelessly. The design, we should talk about the design. It does take a few cues from the Galaxy S5. It does share that similar dimpled rear panel. It also has a similar home button, and it's only 6.6 millimeters thick. But they did describe to us that they had a bit of an architectural inspiration to the design. So they wanted to make this device look and feel premium. And when it's in your hands, it does actually feel really thin and really light. So that is mission accomplished there. It's also got a fingerprint scanner, so it helps with the security of the device. So you can, like the Galaxy S5, register up to 3 fingerprints. It's also got another mode to share the product with up to 8 people. So if there's more than one of you in your family using the same device, you can set up 8 separate accounts so that you can all access it, have your own settings, all on the one Galaxy Tab S. So that's a rundown of the features that caught my eye. I think you'll see from my story on techguide.com.au that I did give it a good go in the hands-on. I gave it a good run. I didn't use it for a long time. I'll reserve that for my full review when the product is actually launched. But at first glance, the first hands-on, I did spend a fair bit of time with it. I was very impressed. You'll see the images there. One of the images is just demonstrating how thin the device is. They said it was as thick as 5 credit cards. And I actually stacked 5 of my credit cards, or I think one of them was my driver's license. And the device wasn't quite as thin as 5. I think it would have been probably 6 or 7 credit cards, but near enough. But it's still that measurement, though, 6.6 millimeters. If you want to read that full review, you can do that, and with all those pictures I explained, you can check that out at techguide.com.au. Right, this week as well, it's been a busy week in tech. Earlier this week, the Electronic Entertainment Expo was held, which is E3 for short. That's the big computer games event that is the event of the year for all the major players in the computer gaming industry. And I'm talking Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, EA Games, Ubisoft. They all had their separate press events. And the focus this year was pretty much on the games. So I'm going to go through them really quickly now. Sony kicked things off. Well, they were one of the actually, they had their press conference later in the day, but I'm going to kick it off with Sony. They had a few gaming announcements. They had announced Little Big Planet 3. That's an exclusive title. That's the first version of the console version for a few years now. But I think the really exciting news from the Sony camp was the was Uncharted 4, which the YouTube video is absolutely amazing. I've embedded all of these on the site. And the photorealism on Uncharted 4 is remarkable. Now, that's another exclusive title to the PlayStation platform. And, of course, the PlayStation 4 version. Don't forget, we've got Xbox One, PlayStation 4, these absolute latest consoles, very powerful consoles, are rendering these games in real time to look absolutely incredible. So that's plenty to look forward to there from Sony. Microsoft was all about the games as well. They showed some more content of Call of Duty, the Advanced Warfare, starring Oscar winner Kevin Spacey. They also showed Forza Horizon 2, which is a driving game. So it's an open world driving game this time. The Forza series is a very popular one for fans of driving games. They also had Tom Clancy's The Division. This is that sort of realistic the shooting game where you command your troops and it's more a tactical thing rather than a straight out first person shooter. This is a bit more of a tactical approach. Another game they unveiled was Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is another the very latest chapter in the very popular adventure series of Lara Croft that's been around for many, many years now. Over at Ubisoft, they also showed one of the very popular games in there, one of their franchises, which is Far Cry. In this instance, Far Cry 4 was the latest title they unveiled, and it too. I think they showed the first 7 minutes of the game, and boy, it's like a movie. Can't wait for that one to come out. They also showed Assassin's Creed Unity. So they're keeping the Assassin's Creed flag flying. When you're on a good thing, you stick to it. Now, Star Wars fans, and I'm one of them, EA Games has got some great news. Star Wars Battlefront 3 is on its way. It's been a while since we've had a Battlefront game. They showed a teaser trailer with some actual gameplay footage. And you could tell some of the scenes were set on the ice planet of Hoth that we saw in Empire Strikes Back, and also on Endor, which is also the moon that was used, that was seen in Return of the Jedi, the home of the Ewoks. No, not sure if everyone's a fan of the Ewoks, but they were there. They also, EA Games also had FIFA 15, an enhancement of that game too. They're going to include new stadiums, more realistic action. So what's going to happen? Players' jerseys are going to get dirtier throughout the game. And pitches are also going to be affected by the play. So it's kind of a real life look at the game, so that if the pitch is in dug up or gets dirty or muddier during the game, then that actually affects the outcome, affects the play for both teams. So really another step forward there in terms of realism. But they're the main highlights from E3. If you want to read about those games and also view those YouTube videos, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And one of their latest products they've released is the AC1200 high-powered Wi-Fi range extender. The model number is EX6200. Now, if you want to not only extend your network, but also increase the range of your network, but also connect other devices on your network, then this is the device for you. You can power up your home network with Netgear's new AC1200 high-powered Wi-Fi range extender, the EX6200. You can push Wi-Fi to every corner of your home with the new 802.11 AC Wi-Fi range extender from Netgear. And it's perfect if you've got a home theater set up. You can connect 5 wired devices to the gigabit Ethernet ports on the back. And you can even stream HD video content from an attached USB hard drive. There's a USB 3 port on the front to make it easier and faster. But it's also got a powerful dual-core processor on board and high-powered amplifier, so you'll get Wi-Fi wherever you want it in your home. You can get the EX6200, the fastest AC Wi-Fi range extender. It's available now from Netgear, and you can check it out at netgear.com.au/maxwifi.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Finney. Tech Guide.
We're going to kick off the Tech Guide reviews with a cool little speaker from Braavn. Now, this is a company that makes Bluetooth portable speakers. and they're speakers with a difference. I'll get to the difference in a moment, but this new model, the BRV-X, is actually a rugged waterproof version. So this is designed for people who love the outdoors, maybe want to go camping, go down to the beach, or whatever they want to do, but they want to take their music with them. So they need a device that can keep up with their lifestyle. So you don't need to treat this with kid gloves. It's rugged, so it's shockproof, waterproof, can handle anything. It's got an IPX7 rating, as a matter of fact. It's great for indoor and outdoor use. It's also got indoor and outdoor modes that then sets up the music depending on your surroundings, so you get the best audio performance depending on where you are. It weighs about 680 grams, so it's very easy to include in your bag if you're traveling or camping. So anyone who loves spending time outdoors and wants to listen to their music, the BRV speakers are the way to go. And as I said, they can handle water, dust, and if you drop them, it's not going to break. You can also pair a couple of them together, so you can create a left and right stereo pair if you want to invest in two. But as I said, music is only part of the offering here. Now, what the Braavn BRV-X also has on board is a 5200 milliamp power bank. So this is also a charger. So if you've got your mobile devices, this can power your mobile devices. This is separate from the battery that's on board that you can charge that using your PowerPoint, the AC connection on the back. And when fully charged, the battery on board the Braavn goes for 12 hours. But it has a separate power bank so that you can use that. Say you're out, you're off the grid and you need to charge your smartphone or your tablet, GPS device, you can do that using the USB port on the back. So any USB powered device, you can charge it up again with the Braavn BRV-X. It's also a speakerphone as well. So if you receive a call, you can hear the call through the speaker system. So if you're making a regular phone call or FaceTime, Skype, any type of call, it can be filtered through the Braavn BRV-X speakers. Available now in black and grey, priced at $299.99. And if you want to read my full review and check out the images, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Well, we love using our smartphones to take photos. We take millions of photos. In fact, we use smartphones to take pictures now more than we do with actual digital cameras. So while we're taking many of these photos and possibly even sharing them online, most of them sit on the device. Not many of them get printed out. We take billions of photos and only a small percentage of these actually see the light of day as a printout. Well, Canon have got a solution. And what this also solves a little problem where, and I've been asked this question many times, how do I print photos off my smartphone? Now, it's not always easy to do. It is possible if you've got a Wi-Fi printer, your phone's on the same network. The printer brand usually has an app. Say Canon, for example, HP, they usually have an app to do your air printing, wireless printing. But it's not easy to do. Now, Canon, with the Selfie CP910, makes that a lot easier because it's got a little built-in Wi-Fi hotspot. So you link your smartphone or your tablet to the device and you can print out your images. You can print out a 6x4, which is 300 by 300 DPI, dots per inch. You can print out a photo in 47 seconds. It uses that built-in Wi-Fi access point, as I mentioned, to make things easier. It's got a 2.7-inch screen, so you can see what photos you are printing out. There is even ways you can enhance your images, make them a little bit brighter, it can focus in on your face and tidy a few things up. But it's a great way to get the photos off your device and out as printed, so you can hold them in your hand, put them in frames, whatever you need to do. You can also print out square stickers. Now, this sounds a perfect solution for printing your Instagram pictures. So it turns them into stickers. You can create collages. You can decorate whatever you like with your favorite Instagram photos. And as I mentioned, it does have some built-in software. It's got that built-in screen so you can make your photos as good as you can with this editing software. So it also uses a dye sublimation printing process, and the images come out looking really good. Not much grain in them at all. And the good thing about it too is that the prints won't fade for 100 years. So it's no risk, no problem putting them in a frame, putting them around your house, even in sunlight, they're not going to fade. That is the promise from Canon. The Canon Selfie CP910 is available now, and it's going to be priced around $115. And if you want to see what it looks like, check out techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, I had an interesting email from Tom, who has sent through to info@techguide.com.au. Now, he's admitted, look, he's an older gentleman who has wanted, he said he's 67, and he says, look, he's been using the internet for a few years now, wants to know a little bit more about Twitter, and asked me a couple of questions. He wants to know, I was actually talking on 2GB one week about hashtags. We actually had Danny Keynes, the Australian Media Relations Manager for Twitter Australia, on air with us talking about hashtags. Tom has written in and sort of wants a bit of a further explanation how Twitter can be used. I'll give you a brief rundown about that and why hashtags are used as well. Well, Twitter, as we most of us know, is a micro-blogging site. It's 140 characters so that you can send a message to the world, message to your followers, whether it's a discussion, your opinion. The reason it is stuck at 140 characters is to make sure you get to the point. You don't want to be waffling on your tweet, because that's the beauty of it, is they're short, digestible little snippets of information you can quickly scroll through. Depending on what you use. A lot of people use Twitter when they're watching TV, when they're watching sport. I'm tick both of those boxes for me. That's what I do as well. But moving on to the hashtags, how the hashtag is helpful, the hashtag gives your tweet relevance. Now, if you want to, it also makes it searchable. So your tweets go into this massive pool of tweets if they're talking about the same thing. And I'll give you an example with the World Cup on right now. The common hashtag would be World Cup 14 or just World Cup. And depending on the match that you're watching, there usually is a hashtag. Like, for example, when Chile was playing Australia earlier this week, the hashtag was #CHI Chile v AUS Australia. So instantly, people looking at your tweet will know the match you're talking about without you having to go in and explaining Australia versus Chile World Cup. Those hashtags do that for you. So it gives your tweet context. And it also puts it in this massive pool of tweets that are now searchable. So that's one way of using a hashtag. What hashtag do you use? It's very to see what's trending. So if you see you want to comment on something that's trending and you want your tweet to be included in that conversation, that pool of tweets, then it's best to stick to those. There are often suggested hashtags. So if you start typing a hashtag, say you hit #WO, then all the World Cup hashtags might appear for you to select. And that's what works whether you're on a mobile device or on the website. So that's another way to use to see what hashtags are being used with your tweets and which deciding on the right ones to use as well. So Tom, I hope that helped you, mate, to get your head around Tech Guide a little bit better. Not Tech Guide, around Twitter a little bit better. I hope your head's around Tech Guide anyway. But no, I hope that helped you understand Twitter a little bit better and the use of hashtags. Now, a word of advice though, before we end up on the help desk. Overuse of hashtags, I think, can be a little annoying for people. So choose maybe 2-3. Don't go overboard because you're going to run out of room to have your say with your actual tweet. So best to keep you use your best judgment on the hashtags. Not too many, just the right amount is just the trick. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that is our show all the way from New York City for another week. I'm heading back to Australia tomorrow, so looking forward to that. You can read about everything we've spoken about on Tech Guide at our website, techguide.com.au. Special thanks too to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. Been fantastic once again having your company. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.